evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, very much from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, September 28, 2020. Sudanese opposition parties react to the move to normalize relations with Israel.
Sudan is going to be different than other countries because the people are not hostile to the Jews or are not hostile to Israelis. We still have a Jewish family.
And South Sudan opposition movement suspends Paul Malone's rebel group ahead of talks in Rome.
In a nutshell, there's a breach of communication channel and a spirit of comradeship and trust within the alliance. It seems to be a breaking point. Malone have been given the notice. We're waiting to hear from him.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some Sudanese opposition political parties have mixed reactions about the ongoing negotiations to normalize Sudanese-Israeli relations. Sudanese, Americans, and Emirati officials met last week to discuss Sudan's intention to establish an official diplomatic relations with the Jewish state. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Mubarak Abdullah Al-Fadl Al-Mahdi is the leader of the Ummah Party Reform Faction. He joined a group of Sudanese activists over the weekend to launch what they call the Sudanese-Israeli Friendship Association to advocate for and support normalizing relations with Israel.
Sudan is going to be different than other countries because the people are not hostile to the Jews or are not hostile to Israelis. We still have a Jewish family living in the Sudan and working in big national companies. They studied at the University of Khartoum, and the Shaul family. It is a family that has its origins in Iraq and in Egypt and in Hungary. They still live in the Sudan, and they are very much welcome and part of the society, of the Sudanese society. So I see this move by this activist to form this association is a beginning of a people's relationship.
Sudan hosted the Arab League's conference in 1967 on the heels of the Arab-Israeli War, where Arab countries vowed never to recognize, never to negotiate, and never to have diplomatic relations with Israel. But since then, Egypt and Jordan have signed peace agreements with the Jewish state, and earlier this month, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain also signed an agreement with Israel at the White House in Washington, D.C., overseen by U.S. President Donald Trump. Fadl says the animosity between Israel and Arab countries is a thing of the past, and that Sudan must consider joining countries that have normalized relations with Israel.
The war is over. Egypt has signed a peace agreement, and it's the biggest army in the Arab world. And Jordan has signed a peace agreement. So the fighting Israel or settling the problems with Israel is no longer on fighting. It's now moved to peace. So the Israelis have signed Oslo since 1993, and now they are there, having relations with Israel, economic relations and political relations, and now they have agreed that the only way to resolving this conflict is through dialogue, through peaceful means and dialogue.
Al-Fadl says Sudan's transitional government should seize this opportunity to sign a peace agreement with Israel as part of President Trump's ongoing efforts to mediate peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors in the Middle East. Fadl says Sudan would also reap a lot of economic benefits from working with Israel. Sadiq Yusuf is a member of the Sudanese Communist Party's Central Committee and part of the ruling coalition in Sudan known as the Forces for Freedom and Change. He says the FFC does not have the mandate to sign peace with Israel, a message Sudan's civilian-led government passed to U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo when he visited Sudan last month.
This is a very big issue and a very big decision, and it should be decided by an elected government. But the existing government is not elected. Even FFC don't claim that they represent everybody in the Sudan. And we have not been elected by the people. So we think that such a decision should be delayed until the end of the interim period, and an elected government should decide on this issue. That is what we told the Prime Minister, and I think he conveyed our principle or our position to the United States Foreign Affairs Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, when he came to Sudan.
Yusuf says the Sudanese Communist Party maintains the same historical position of rejecting any peace agreement with Israel, in solidarity with the Palestinians and their conflict with Israel.
As our party is concerned, we are not with normalizing with Israel for several reasons, and we are against normalizing with Israel. And this is a big issue, the reasons and things like that. Since the Communist Party was founded, it has got this same position, and it has never been revised within our party leadership. That is the existing since the last conference of the Communist Party in 2016.
Pompeo discussed the issue of normalizing Sudanese-Israeli relations with Sudan's government when he visited in August. A high-level Sudanese government delegation also reportedly discussed the issue last week in the United Arab Emirates with U.S. and Israeli officials, but no breakthrough was announced. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Still in Sudan, participants at a Sudanese economic conference have resolved to set up a roadmap to overcome the current economic problems facing the country. The 3 days conference discussed Sudan's economic crisis and how to stabilize prices of commodities and exchange rates. Some economic analysts described the conference as a good step forward and called for increased agricultural production in the country. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Conference participants called on the government to continue subsidizing fuel, cooking gas, and baking flour as Sudan's economy continues to deteriorate. They also urged the transitional government to continue lobbying international partners to convince the U.S. to remove Sudan from the list of its state sponsors of terrorism so that Sudan have relations with international banks and investment institutions. Conference participant Abdul Basid Said says since the government is about to sign a final peace deal with several armed groups, it should work to provide security to all citizens so they can farm their land and produce food.
A government that cannot resolve the issue of poverty in the coming 5 years is useless for the country. I think agriculture can pick up without the dollar. That is by turning inward to the economy, to the periphery of the Nile, to the borderline communities where agricultural production can be plenty.
Sudan has been undergoing serious economic problems ever since South Sudan seceded from the country in 2011, when Sudan immediately lost 75% of its oil revenues. Said says Sudan has plenty of other natural resources, especially in conflict-affected areas.
Sudan is full of iron deposits all over in the Red Sea Hills, in the Central Plateau, in the Nuba Mountains. There is iron everywhere, and it could be an alternate source, but it has to be refined in place. Because transporting the raw component is very expensive.
Said says the continued depreciation of the Sudanese pounds has triggered a significant hike in the prices of basic and essential commodities, which has intensified the suffering of citizens. Some economic analysts described the conference as a good step forward and called on the government officials to improve ways to increase locally grown food production. In speaking to South Sudan in Focus on the sideline of the conference, Sudanese economic analyst Attaher Ismail Harbi calls it an important conference because, he says, it is tackling the major agricultural and constraints facing the country.
There are many problems, of course, that should be solved parallel with achieving the recommendations of such a conference.
Harbi says, apart from the inequitable distribution of natural resources, which are concentrated in the urban cities, there is a need for improving service delivery in rural areas to limit migration of young people to urban areas. Agriculture should be regarded as the backbone of Sudan's economy, according to Harbi.
It is creating a problem because we need Sudanese people to concentrate on rural development, because Sudan is an agricultural country and it should start with agricultural projects, agricultural production. There are other sources of fortune as far as mining is concerned and others could be utilized.
The Sudanese pound continued to decline against foreign currencies this past week. On Saturday, the exchange rate of the dollar hit 245 Sudanese pounds in the parallel market against the official exchange rate set by the central bank at 55 pounds. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Juba, where South Sudan's wildlife authorities have impounded more than 300 kilograms of smuggled assorted skins of animals at Juba International Airport. The Director General at the South Sudan's Ministry of Wildlife Conservation and Tourism says the government is investigating the matter in order to bring the suspects to books. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Wildlife Conservation and Tourism Ministry officials say preliminary findings indicate that the smugglers transported more than 300 kilograms of animal skins from South Africa to Juba last week with the help of a South Sudanese. General Aldo Gwoki, the Director General at the Wildlife Conservation and Tourism Ministry, says officials intercepted the assorted animal skins at Juba International Airport.
Those skins actually are from different wildlife species. Some of them are processed, some of them are difficult to identify. Only those with the hairs are able to identify them as springbok. This is a species of bagal actually found in South Africa. Otherwise, the rest we could not identify them. But probably they may be actually some from hippos and buffaloes, probably, yes.
Gwoki admits South Sudan has challenges in combating trafficking or the smuggling of endangered animals and animal products both within the country and from outside countries.
South Sudan has been actually considered as a transit destination for smuggling, trafficking and all these kind of things. Because, if we lose, there's no tax security and these things normally go from here, sometimes without being detected. But thanks to God that our personnel were able to apprehend those schemes.
Komar Fence, Program Coordinator for the Peace and Development Collaborative Organization and Coordinator for South Sudan Civil Society Coalition on Natural Resources, says wildlife traffickers are taking advantage of South Sudan's reluctance to put tough punitive measures on traffickers who usually walk away from the country's justice system. Fence says South Sudan has been a safe escape route for the endangered wild animals for years, and unless illegal dealers are punished, that will continue.
We have seen the mid-2016 in May, a security personnel has been arrested with 16 elephant tusks. The following day, a Chinese national has been arrested with 10 kgs of frozen pangolin meat. These individuals have been released without any charge or explanation. This tells us clearly that things have been happening at the airport or at the exit road, particularly Nimule or Rabban. These traffickers have been using the loopholes and nothing has been done.
Gwoki says those who will be found to be behind the illegal smuggling of wild animal skins will be charged in a court of law.
These are contrabands. These are the actual contrabands. Official documents for the transportation of those items. So we consider them illegal and they were smuggled. And maybe they were trying to take it somewhere using South Sudan as a transit destination, this one can be, still have to find out exactly what is the motive behind.
Fence says those behind the latest trafficking should be made public to deter other smugglers from engaging in the trafficking of endangered fauna.
The authority, as ministry has come out clearly, the Minister of Wildlife and Conservation, should come openly to the public. Who are the individuals? They can't come to South Sudan without having a network. My opinion is there should be a humble investigation, a thorough investigation should be done, prosecution should be instituted, and the individuals should be sentenced.
In addition to using Juba International Airport, Fans says a lot of smugglers move endangered wildlife through South Sudan's porous borders on the ground. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Paul Malong's rebel group is stuck in political power struggle. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting, and you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam, and you have to wait till probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that I'm mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white collar jobs are the most earning, but in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
VOA always delivers your favorite programs, news, music, entertainment, and sports shows. Starting Monday, October 5th, our flagship news show, South Sudan in Focus, will be moving to 16:30 UTC, followed by your favorite sports show, The Sunny Side of Sports, at 1700 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The former spokesperson of the rebel South Sudan United Front, Sunday Dijon, says he has taken over the leadership of the group from General Paul Malong. Malong fired Dijon last week, accusing the former spokesperson of dealing secretly with the Kiir administration. John denied the charges and says Malong is not fit to lead the South Sudan United Front.
He called me, and when I was there, he called other four members of SAP, and then told us that he had an envelope that contained the lease, and the lease was sent back from Juba after Sunday sent it. And I told him, General, I have not sent any lease to anybody, whether inside SAP or outside SAP. I have only printed it and brought it to you, just like most of the documents that I bring to you. And he could not give me any attention. Instead, he was so furious, in a fighting mood, trying to disregard whatever I was to say. And when he was persuaded by those who were in the meeting, he could not accept to allow us to actually share anything with him. So the eventual outcome was he told me to leave his compound, which I did.
There is a letter circulating on the social media signed by General Paul Malong suspending you from your position as the spokesperson for the South Sudan United Front. How do you react to that?
Because we do not have a policy to follow, General Malong has a congress made up of people from his own area, those cousins and sons of relatives that are living closer to him are the ones that actually make decisions for SAP. And if you tell them that is not the right way to work, you are in trouble. You get kicked out. And that has happened to a lot of our politicians that are no longer with us.
The new spokesperson has come out strongly. I've seen some writings from him on social media saying that you were suspended and they don't want to tell the reasons, because if they do, it will dent your image. And he said if you continue making noise on the social media, they will be forced to reveal the reasons why you were suspended.
What is it that Choldwang knows about SAP? Choldwang has just run away from Juba, coming to here as somebody who is looking for a status. His main objective is to migrate to the West, and he had to be with the rebels so that he can make a case that government of South Sudan is targeting him. That is what Choldwang is. He doesn't know anything about SAP or anything to say about me. Let them go out. Let them say anything that they would want to say about me. I am ready to hear and also to respond. Yeah. The internal matter is not an internal matter because it has been rejected in terms of formation of the committee to investigate the matter. Chairman General Malong Bell made it up. He made it up, and that is why he has to refuse to form an investigation committee, and he said invoked dictatorship. So what do I do?
Sunday, tell me, it's my understanding that you have declared yourself as the interim leader of the South Sudan United Front. Why would you do that?
I am the interim chairperson of South Sudan United Front following a deliberation by the members of the National Executive Committee, and they endorsed me to take the leadership for this time being until such time that a conference would be conducted so that we can select our leader. So there is no anything like self-appointment. We have used all the instruments that are for SAP, including the constitution and of course the right of the National Executive Committee to make decisions on behalf of SAP, and not like Malong used to, making decisions unilaterally without consulting with anyone. So this is after thorough consultation. Whatever they are saying is just to discredit the reality. So I have done nothing wrong. I have been taken as the chair to lead at this interim period, and I am not regretting anything about that.
That's Sunday Dijon, interim chairperson of the South Sudan United Front. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, over the weekend. The spokesman of the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance, Kwaje Lasu, says the alliance has suspended the membership of the South Sudan United Front from the umbrella group. Kwaje says the South Sudan United Front went against the alliance rules of communication with mediators in Rome. He says the rebel SSUFA bypassed rules for negotiations with Juba.
I wanted to say from the get-go, we don't have problem with Malong as an individual. Soma have no any problem with him as a person. However, the concern of Soma with SSUFA as an organization.
What has Malong's party done to deserve suspension?
When we come together as Soma, we come in the term of alliance with a specific term of reference. So we always believe in working together. With all entities, our dealings, we always wanted to be transparent, no surprises. If any dealing with other secondary entity as an alliance should be respected.
Now, talk to me about surprises. What has surprised you?
Well, at this point, I don't know, actually, you have seen our position, our press release that we suspended SSUF, South Sudan United Front, basically in elements of their violations of working together.
I looked at your press release and you did not specify why you suspended Malong from the umbrella group.
In a nutshell, there's a breach of communication channel and a spirit of comradeship and trust within the alliance. It's tend to be it's a breaking point. Malong have been given the notice, and we're waiting to hear from him. However, the suspension stands.
You cannot suspend somebody just like that. This is not a family affair where you would say, I don't like X, I don't like B, and I like C. There has to be a reason.
It's not that, you're absolutely correct. It's not a matter of liking or not. Once again, we have a term of reference that we as an opposition, when contradicting with a decision of leadership and principles that we agreed on.
What is this contradiction? Could you be kind to tell the South Sudanese people what exactly happened?
Well, at this point, we have the SSUF is working contrary or parallel to SOMA objective, whereby engaging in a separate way of undercutting what SOMA stands for.
What do you mean by undercutting what SOMA stands for? Could you explain yourself?
In terms of dealing with communications, with all the entities that are, be it regional or the mediators or anybody, we always believe that's supposed to be a unison. But we come to learn SSUF has been dealing independently without the knowledge of SOMA, and that's contradicts.
A deal involves two parties sitting together and possibly agreeing or disagreeing. Who is Malong dealing with?
For example, they're dealings with specifically with the mediating team. We're taken aback to learn that has been is ongoing without our knowledge.
I mean, when you say mediating team, what do you mean?
Tanza, you know very well. The mediator is currently the Committee of San Egidio in Rome.
So you're telling me that Malong is dealing with St. Gidio in Rome without your knowledge?
It's been brought to our attention, and that led to the suspension.
And what is wrong with that?
Because this is a breach of channel of communication, and contrary to what we agreed on, among other things.
I mean, I hate to put you on the spotlight, but it's an open secret that people in Juba view your umbrella organization as an obstacle to peace. Those who took up arms against the government have signed a deal, and you are still sitting on the fence. How do you react to that?
If everybody, that including SSUF, thinking that we are obstacle to peace, I think with the suspension, if that's the case, they are free to engage. But what we believe in the current process, there's no genuine peace in our country.
That's Kwajja Lasu, chairperson of the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance. The group is traveling next week to Rome to resume negotiations with the Kiir administration. That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Rumbek Epanda by David Pachong. Listening to David Pachong with the song Rumbek Epanda. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.